Okay, good afternoon. For those of us who live in the tropics, it's easy. Today I'm here to talk about facilitation. Just last week we had a training in Om Shanti Retreat Center in Delhi for around 100 teachers from all over the world. I think 26 countries, and I suggested that we do a module on facilitation skills, and the idea was to have it here, but then again, why just restrict it to the SML people, since it would be of use to anyone who's a facilitator. So I want to ask I imagine that everyone here gives courses or gives workshops in the center. Is that right? Yeah? And so I'm seeing a few people that are very experienced sitting in the audience, so I'm sure what I'm going to say is not news for most of you. But the idea was that we need to do something to make people, you know, because a lot of the work that we do as facilitators is very much related to the meaning of the word, which is to make things easy. To facilitate means to make things easy. Makes things easy to understand. Help people to understand in the easiest way possible. And that does require a little bit more than just understanding of concepts. It requires tact, it requires feeling, it requires sensitivity. It requires perhaps much more dharana than gyan even. And the idea was to, okay, since we're facilitators of something or the other, in the name of the BKs, why don't we do it in such a way that is really spiritual, you know? To transmit Baba's presence, perhaps. And that's what our job is. Baba wants us to help people to have the experience. And in the world today, people are just dying for experience. They're just crying out for experience. There's a lot of knowledge around. There's a lot of intellectual ideas around. There's a lot of opinions. And there's a lot of words. It's a whole jungle of words out there, right? So we can say the best words in the most clever way possible, but it doesn't mean that people will really understand them. So our real job is to help people have an experience. And I realize that this type of setup here, in fact we're going to talk about setups of rooms, is not exactly conducive to people having an interactive experience, right? This sort of format, you know, some person standing up the front being the wise person who knows everything, and you poor people who don't know anything, you know, you're just a bunch of empty pots, and I'm so full of wisdom, I'm going to put all of my wisdom into your empty heads. This sort of format psychologically produces that sort of idea. It doesn't help, you know, to be moving around. In fact, if you're helping people to learn, it means that you're also learning together with them. So I just want to, you know, just to, in groups of twos and threes, talk to the person next to you or the two people next to you about what you think the job of a BK facilitator is. Can you do that for a few minutes? Yeah? With the person next to you? Or the few people next to you? What do you think your job is as Baba's instrument giving gyan to others? Introduce yourselves. Move, move, move. If you're not sitting near someone, move towards that person. Okay. Get a chance to share a few ideas. Can we listen to... Okay. Can we listen to a few words of wisdom from the audience? One of the premises of a BK facilitator is to understand that, in fact, as an original quality of the soul, somehow or the other, at a deeper level, people know. So what we have to do is to touch what they know and bring it out. That's our job. So, what do you know? Anyone like to share their little drop of wisdom? What do you think our job is as a BK facilitator, really? Okay. Careful about the length of the cord. This one's longer, actually.
To me, is that coming?
Yes. Yeah.
To me, the whole emphasis of facilitating is to listen. Listening is the primary requisite, because when you're listening with nothing going on inside yourself, you're automatically drawing out from the other person what they need to do. And my partner here said that she felt that people should experience something from us but be able to recreate that themselves. So I was asking how, and we didn't have enough time, so be nice.
Anyone else?
Om Shanti. Our little group shared that a facilitator should have truthfulness, a humility, the will to share and give, and stay in the stage of self-respect and humility. And we're not actually giving because we're taking from Baba. And to be a detached observer, being accepting, open-minded, encourage dialogue just by using keywords.
Just say where you're from also.
Hello, I'm Ketan from Australia. What we have talked about, in our most... I'm Shandy, I'm Ketan from Sydney. One thing I know, we often notice, people come from intellectual idea. They come with the idea, I know everything. So when one of the important things we realized, give them experience rather than touching their heart rather than touching their head. And that was the main thing we discussed. I'm Shandy.
Next.
Andata from Mauritius. Yeah, well, what I shared was that it's more of a collective responsibility also. The facilitator needs, like, to get as many the participants to get into the organizing of the whole program so that they feel part of the whole process. And the success will lie to what extent we get them involved to share their personal experiences rather than the facilitator giving more of his own experiences.
One more.
So what we shared was... Pardon? Oh, I'm from Malaysia. I'm Vimla from Malaysia. What we shared was that people in the world have a lot of knowledge. There are many intellectuals. So our job is to give an experience. And in order to give an experience, we have to be the embodiment of love and peace and all those qualities that we are trying to transmit to others.
So I'll take back the mic. Now, I'm not in any way setting myself up to be an expert facilitator. So, just share some ideas that over the years I found very valuable. And in our trainings that I've now conducted, three of many actually, for BKs here in Madaban and other places, these are the things that somehow or the other have I tried to make a summary of. And audiences, perhaps it's a good thing to understand, because often you're in a situation where the people who are present don't want to be there. Someone has sent them along, right? Someone has asked them that they should be present. But it's not necessarily that they want to be there sitting. So just recently I was with a group of managers from the Fiat automobile company. There were about 200 of them. And it was so obvious that they were there because they were asked to be there. But I could see in the audience that there were a few different types of reasons why people do things. Some people do things for political reasons, you know. It's a good image, looks good. Other people are doing it, so I should do it too. Others, and you can see by their body language, they do things for intellectual reasons. So they may come to a course because they're comparing things. They want to understand the benefits. They want to see where things go. They want to organize their ideas. And after making their analysis, they take a decision to do something. For example, do a Raja Yoga course. Other people do things for emotional reasons. That means they, you know, they want to embrace it with their hearts, and they really try to get into it. And finally, some people do things for spiritual reasons. So in the that means they do it because it's them. They do it because it's their truth. They do it because it's how they are, and for no other reason. And we'll see in our audience, any audience, you'll see those four types. People are trying to improve their image. People are trying to understand. People are trying to find something that fills their hearts. And people who are trying to discover something more meaningful in life. And you can see by the body language even. You know, the political ones are just sitting there sort of... while you're giving your presentation, right? The intellectual ones are sort of... the emotional ones, we've got their notebooks out and they're... and the spiritual ones are... and you can see some of the, you know, by the body language, exactly where people are at. Now, personally, I don't have any problem with any of those levels. Because you've got to make people understand at all levels. And a good presenter will be addressing all of the four levels at the same time. You know, making the image seekers go a little bit deeper, making the intellectual ones get a bit more heart, and making the hearty ones become a little bit more spiritual in their outlook. So at the same time, you may have four different strands going on, you know, and you're sort of pulling each group together. You're sort of, you know, creating a sense of togetherness. And you're not saying, ah, these people are not interested, so I'll just look at the people who are looking at me, you know. These people are paying attention, so I'll speak the whole time to them, and these people over here, you know. It doesn't work like that. You've got to somehow involve everybody. And I started to put down some ideas, and I thought, you know, maybe it works in English, but probably not in other languages. But there's a lot of things that we need to do, especially in terms of preparing ourselves. Now, many of you probably know this work of appreciative inquiry, right? So before you make a question, there's what they call a preamble, which is like an explanation of the context of the question, so that when you make the question, it makes sense. For us, we need to have very good, like a preamble to what we say in our own minds. That a short version of everything we've got to say is very clear in our minds. The summary is very clear in our minds. And this feeling that you have clarity about the key concepts that you're going to have will help you to overcome the initial nervousness. And all of us, you know, we have a very great ally to help us to overcome nervousness called Baba. Right? Baba's not nervous at all. And if I'm Baba's instrument, how can I become nervous? It's such a gross form of body consciousness, actually, isn't it? So, two things help. One is having clarity of the essence of what you're going to say, already in your mind. And the second thing is that you really work on having Baba's company. So having the essence, okay, why do you want to say what you want to say? What's the purpose of it all? What would you like people to think afterwards? What is the impact, you know, that after people leave, how do you think that they will feel seeing them leave? That what do you want them to carry away with them? So when you start talking, then you make that very clear from the beginning. The reason why we're here is this, and we're going to go through this and this and this, and at the end you'll probably have this sort of experience. And then, you know, make it clear from the beginning. The other thing is our position, the image that we'd like to carry, you know. What's the sort of image you'd like to put into people's minds of the work we do? How do you position yourself in front of others? And of course, it's the positioning is like representing the organization in a sense. Now, how would you like to position the Brahma Kumaris in people's minds? How would you like to position Baba's work in people's minds? And of course, you're not there to position yourself. Be a great, you know, whatever. But it's a very great and honourable task to be representing Baba in public. And so, how do we position ourselves with relation to what we represent? Of course, what does Baba say about preparing? What does he say? Huh? Do your job. What does he say? You take one step, I'll take all the rest. What else did he say? Huh? I can't hear. Be ever ready. Huh? Be soul conscious. But what did he say about preparing? He says, write down the points. Yeah? Write down the points. And, Churn. In fact, everything that we do as teachers, you know, as Baba's instruments, is to prepare ourselves to be that instrument in front of people mostly we don't know. And so preparing is like 90% of the work. Presentation. How do we impact on others? What's the impact that we have? You often ask this question. The other day I was actually talking about this, and Sister Winnie walked into the room. It was in Peace Village. We were talking about the impact we have on others. And I was just saying, some people when they come into the room, it's like the sun coming up, you know. The sun comes in the room. And other people come into the room, it's like, you know, a cloud. Sometimes a dark cloud. So the impact that we have on others is like the openness of our hearts, how big our hearts, how our disposition, you know, our will to serve. It should be like so embracing of what people are. It's such an incredible thing. These people, you know, they've spent 63 births, you know, knocking on doors and, as Baba said, rubbing their heads on temple floors. And finally, they've arrived at a place where they can get some of God's wisdom. And of course, we have to give it in a way that's appropriate to each one. But they, you know, they've come a long way to get here. So how do you feel when those people are just sitting there and you've got some very, very important answers that have been given to you in trust, and these people have come such a long way to get them? So when you go into a room, that's how you should have the feeling. Your heart should be that big. And then you'll have an impact, right? Big heart. Of course, make sure that the computers are working, make sure the microphones are okay, make sure that the seats are comfortable, all of those sort of things. That will help your performance, you know. You don't need to worry. You know, I tried to get this afternoon air conditioning, but in fact it's only the next two rooms in the IT group have got the air conditioning. We've just got the fans. Sorry about that. But anyway, using whatever's around will help your performance. Getting people involved. You can get people involved by eye contact. You can get people involved by asking questions. You can get people involved by standing up. You know, you start to see people falling off. What do? Nodding off. Like the other day, let's do it. You know, the other day I was in the training in Delhi, and we were talking about focus, and there were a few people sort of nodding off. So I said, okay, everyone stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up, everyone. Leave your notes behind. Now, what's going to happen here? Turn around and face any direction you feel is appropriate. Okay, choose a point in the room, 360 degrees, any point in the room that you want. Okay? So we were talking about focus. Now, everybody, move towards that part of the room as fast as you can. That was not very fast. I mean, choose another point a little bit further from where you're sitting. Some people have just chosen the seat next to them. That's not... Okay, choose another point and go faster even. Go. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Here I am. I want you to move towards me in an orderly fashion. I'm your focus. Isn't that different? Do you see the difference? Got it? You see the difference between chaos and having focus? Okay, you can sit down. I just wanted to wake you up. Okay? Good. So getting people involved. The other P, of course, is using your imagination. Create metaphors in people's minds, you know, create images. Your imagination should create images in people's minds. In fact, many people don't think in words, they think in images. But again, we're going to see we shouldn't overdo it. We shouldn't overdo it. We shouldn't give so many images that they become confused. Then, practice. Practice, 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 practice. Practice with others. The great ideas that you have, share them with others. Why not? Share them with your friends, your colleagues, family members, other BKs. To make the ideas clear. Do you find that when you say something, it becomes clearer for you as well? You find that when you say something, you're actually teaching yourself. You're probably the first one that needs to know this. So if we practice as much as we can, the great ideas that are being stimulated, you know, who has ever said something that you know, after you spoke, you know, giving gyan, you thought, wow, that was incredible, you know. Has that ever happened? So who do you think's been helping you? Baba. Yes. So Baba's helping us to help ourselves to help others, basically. And so if we practice, we actually make the ideas clearer for ourselves and, of course, more palatable for others. And, of course, finally, it should be a pleasurable experience. You should enjoy. And you should make other people enjoy. Because if you're, you know, sitting there bored, it's because people are not enjoying. People should be, you know, more or less like I'm seeing now. A few people are... Maybe you, all of you people are emotional, spiritual types, right? No one's here to learn to be a facilitator just to show other people in the centers how good you are, right? You're here to learn, to enjoy, and to help others to enjoy. Okay, our role. Keep the group within the theme. Of course, you have to keep within the theme yourself to do that, right? Whatever you're talking about, make a thread. I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but make a thread that goes through the whole thing. Encourage uniform participation. And a way to do this, can someone give me a piece of paper, please? A big piece of paper. Yeah, this is a good size. When you find people, you know, sometimes in a presentation you've got three or four people who are always putting their hands up to say something. You find that? And so, okay, now we're going to be democratic, right? I'm going to throw this little paper ball, and wherever it lands, that person has to say something. Okay. What's your name? Where are you from? What do you think about facilitation?
Om Shanti. I'm B.K. Yamini from Sri Lanka. And I think the facilitator must keep the participators enjoyable and within the theme.
Okay. Okay, now it's your turn. You can be democratic now. You can throw it somewhere else. You've already... What happened to the piece of paper? Okay, throw it. And think of the person where... Who, wait a minute before... Okay. Elena, what do you think the role of a facilitator is? It's near you.
Well, for me, it is making very easy and light all the participants, encourage them to speak, all of them, to speak also the ones that are shy, make some, as you said, some dynamics that they feel happy. But first of all, my idea has always been that these are my brother souls. This is always at the heart of my anything I do. That these are Baba's children, and I don't think of their degrees, because the degrees are something away from what they really are. So this is my feeling.
Okay, Elena, throw it to the brother's side. Throw the paper to the brother's side. Okay, your turn.
Hi, I'm Peter from Australia. Role of the facilitator is to give Baba's message.
Okay. So if you find people are not participating much, you use some sort of a little trick, you know, a little game like that to encourage people to move, you know. Because otherwise, you know, the same person puts his hand up to say the same thing and people start to get bothered. You know, this guy again with his stuff, you know. And you can see by the body language, oh no, not again, this guy's going to get up and... You see it. Like, you know, you're playing with energies here. And you've got to encourage depth too. I mean, what you just said is probably as deep as you can get. Yeah? Give Baba's message. But, like, help people to go deeper if you can. And what does that mean? And what does that mean? And what does that mean? Why this? Why? 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 Why do you think that happens? You know? And that will help people to go into the depth of the thing. Another good thing to happen is to, if you have a little gong or a little bell, right? And someone says something profound, just sort of tinkle the bell and stop. Okay, let's have some silence about that. So you can pause. Use pauses. Like now. We're going to pause for a minute. Just think about the whole thing of your, you know, the feeling that you have when you facilitate. And how great it is that Baba's with you. So use pauses, use silence, use reflection. People, especially when someone in the audience says something profound, just help them. Keep the rhythm. Keep the rhythm. Keep it going, you know. Especially after lunch. If you're on a day-long presentation, keep the fun and games for after lunch, straight after lunch, and then they get over that hump, they get over the hurdle of the after lunch syndrome of sleepiness. And then, right? So keep something exciting for after lunch so that you can keep the thing moving ahead. Okay, our inner preparation, what do you think? What are the sort of things that we need to do beforehand? Internally.
Have a nice Amrit Vela.
Okay, nice Amrit Vela.
To remember why I'm doing this. To remember why I'm doing this.
Why are you doing this? I'm sorry I can't reach everybody, so only use the first row here.
Connect with Baba.
What?
Connect with Baba.
Connect with Baba.
Know well your theme.
Know your theme well, yeah. So how close to Baba? How much support do I have? How much support do I feel that I have for this particular presentation? Is it something that Baba wants me to do? Do I feel that connection? Do I feel that Baba's there giving me the support? Or is it like a little bit of my own ego? You know? I'm sharing this from where? What's my space? Where am I sharing these things from? Another thing, of course, is to look in today's Muli. What did Baba say today? Okay, what did Baba say today that's relevant to service, to serving others? Pardon?
It says not to look at their weaknesses and see them positive qualities and embrace them.
Okay. See positive qualities in others.
We must study day and night.
Okay, that's relevant, but maybe it's not what we should say to others for ourselves. But the thing of, you take up this thing of just seeing positive qualities. Baba, for example, talks about the swan. So if you're going to use a metaphor, why not use the swan metaphor? And like fresh halva, you know, fresh food from Baba is always useful to serve. And of course, the topic that I'm taking up, for example, recently I was conducting a seminar on overcoming anger. And the basic premise of that, the direct gyan about that, is that anger is not a part of our original state. People believe that anger is part of them. They can't do anything about it. The problem is aggressiveness, aggressive behavior. But anger, all you can do is manage it. You can't overcome it. That's what people believe. That's what they learn in the universities. Huh. What is this? No, it's not that. There's a wireless system in the room next door, so it's... There's a wireless system in the room next door, so... Anyway, so we know what Baba says about anger. It's such a deep thing, this. It's not part of the original state of the soul. But the people in the audience, 99% of them believe that it is. So how can you help people at that level? And there are different ways. Because you're not going to say, you're wrong, you know. You're not going to just say like that. You're going to help them to understand perhaps it's worthwhile to think that anger is not part of their original state. So you use Baba's direct gyan. Is there anyone around me that I can get some ideas from? Don't try to think that you know everything or that you can get all of the ideas. Especially if you live in the center where there are other experienced BKs, talk to them. What do you think? What do you think? You know, or read some articles by other Brahmins or books. Get some ideas from others. Once Baba said that service is just sharing what's overflowing from you. You know, you feel so filled that it's filling over, and that spilling over is what is actually helping others. So how fulfilled do I feel that in serving others? It's like that coming out of my own fulfillment, sharing my own fulfillment, in a sense. The other thing is, how much do I practice what I'm going to say? You know? There's a lot of work to do. For example, when I was doing this thing on anger, of course I have to check myself. And it was very difficult for me to get angry, so I do feel confident to talk about it. And in the audience it was very interesting because there were a few BKs. It was a retreat, right? There were about 70 people in the retreat, and 6 or 7 BKs. Many of them were there because they wanted to learn how to overcome someone else's anger, you know. My wife is angry, my husband is angry, my boss is angry, and so what do I need to do to deal with them? And I said, okay, let's do a questionnaire, which would be 24 questions which would indicate if you had anger or not. You know, as Baba says, there are so many young children of anger, right? So many different varieties of anger. And so as we were listening, everyone started saying, yes, yes. For example, if you see someone that you don't get along with, and they're coming in your direction, do you move the other way? And they were saying things like, do you get tense when you've got a very demanding task in front of you? Do you get tense? Yes. So what's that? What's the tension due to? There's some energy, there's some conflict is going on, that's producing the tension, yeah? So they were saying, but that's normal, that's normal, it's normal. But anyway, I have to see how much I practice what I'm going to say. Because that will give power to what you say. You know, authenticity is a great help in our work. What are the images that I keep in my mind to help me? For example, in my case, I remember things like the lighthouse. An image that helps me to remind me what I'm supposed to be doing. So if things start to get a little bit, you know, difficult, I remind myself that I have to be a lighthouse here. So what are the images that I have that I can use that will make my work easier? Yeah? And of course, humility. Humility helps a lot. Humility convinces people. And probably people haven't seen humble presenters before. Generally a presenter is very, you know, very full of himself. So if you are clear and concise and deep and at the same time humble and sweet and loveful, it's an unbeatable combination. People really take it on, you know, because of the humility. What you have to do is to create. Get there beforehand. Get there before you go. You know, meditate. If you can take some people with you, other BKs, you can position them strategically in the room so that they're all sending out powerful vibrations. I remember once in one of the conferences that we had, in one of the first conferences in Om Shanti Bhavan, Baba said, don't think that only the people sitting on the stage are the ones that are going to be doing the service. You have to be sitting there creating the atmosphere. So if you create a powerful atmosphere in which something can really take place, this is what we see, for example, in Peace Village. Recently there was a retreat for consultants, business consultants. And people came from all over the world. And it was so powerful, because of the atmosphere that's been created there. When people come for peace of mind, they have such a powerful experience because of the atmosphere. And so, don't think that you can get to a place just, you know, if you can do it, get there before, create an atmosphere yourself, create a vibration. Check the chairs, you know. If you can get old chairs like these chairs and the people have to sit for, you know, these chairs here, people have to sit for, you know, a couple of hours, it's better than sitting on these plastic chairs, right, if you can arrange it. Now these things are so obvious, but check the noise around, you know, if people are working on machines or there's a terrible noise coming from a nearby place, then try to find out if you can get them to reduce the noise levels, because it will distract. Use nature and the surroundings. Use where you were. I'm seeing Anthony here. Anthony, come up here. If you were there about the round tables, can you come here and tell that story? Fantastic story, because... Yeah, but using the surroundings.
Yeah. Circumstances were such that it wasn't what our dear brother Ken was going to expect. And so he had to think quick. And we had organized in Washington 143 of the top executives of DuPont worldwide, so they were pretty heavy-duty souls. And we needed to have them participate instantly in a way that would show them, I think, cooperation. And the room wasn't set up. And we were in a very high-class hotel with high-class people expecting very high-class event. And nothing. So, my father had died, and our dear brother Ken had flu. And I think there was one other BK there. There was Sister Rita from, and she'd never done anything like this before. So you can see, this was a recipe for disaster. However, because our dear brother Ken was able, and I'm using a technique of facilitation by walking around in front of the camera here or whatever, he was able to use his surroundings. And so very quickly he realized that getting all the participants to participate in the creation of the room with the round tables was exactly the right thing to do. And after the whole thing, we could say that it was the opposite of a disaster. Everybody got the exact point that Ken was trying to create around the whole process of cooperation, and we got ourselves a room that was set up and we were able to continue. That's how I remember it, Ken.
Yeah. Thank you. Very good. Yeah, because we saw in the break, we saw the hotel staff, how they set up tables, right? These huge round things, they sort of rolled them in to the room, right? It was like, you know, visually it was fantastic to watch, because you see this thing rolling, because it's bigger than the man, right? And he's behind it, and you just see this thing rolling, huge table. So I told them, actually, don't set the room up, be late. And so all the people come into the room, hey, where are the tables? And then it was set up that they would sort of move in. We simulated a bit of an argument. Where are you guys? What are you coming late for? We mentioned that you should be here at such and such. Look, it's 11:30. You should have come here at 11. And so we simulated a little bit of an argument. And I told them that they could be free to say whatever they felt. And so the hotel people really got angry, you know. And so everyone was standing because there was nowhere to sit yet. What's going on here? What's going on here? Anyway, then we sort of worked it out that, okay, since this has happened, everybody now, let's cooperate to put the tables together. Okay. So everyone started to help the men, and then we told them it had all been set up. But you see the surroundings. Use what's there if you want to illustrate a point. Especially if you're in the nature, you know. People can learn a lot of things from nature. Yeah. You know, go out, move around, look for something that reminds you of what's happening. And they come back with a rock or a stone or a, you know, butterfly wing or something. And for them it's significant. But it's something to do with what's going on. Use the surroundings, okay? Yes?
I forgot, I think you shared with us. I think you went in the Scandinavian country, I don't know. You brought a coconut, I don't know, you used example. Can you repeat this?
Oh, yeah. So I had to give a talk to 800 engineers. It was the last talk of a 3-day congress on quality and productivity. And they were all, you know, how do you think engineers would be at 6 o'clock on the afternoon of the third day of their congress? How do you think they'd be, you know? Have you ever given a talk to 800 dead fish? You know, the dead fish expression. Anyway, I thought, I've got to do something dramatic here. So I went for a walk and a think before I went in. And across the road from the auditorium, there was a fruit market. So I went there. Aha, I'm going to use a coconut. So I walked into the auditorium with a coconut in my hand. I didn't sit on the stage with the people. I got the microphone, went to the front of the stage and started to talk to the people who were sitting right up the front, who were the only ones paying attention. You know. And I said, if you were from Norway, what do you think this is? And you've never seen it before. Well, it's a hairy ball. But if I told you that inside of it there's this beautiful liquid, and you know, very tasty liquid, very delicious white flesh, you probably wouldn't believe me. So what would I have to do with a coconut? And they said, you should break it. So I said, excuse me. So I broke it on the floor, you know. First result was that everyone woke up immediately. Secondly, I started to give out pieces of coconut, right? And everyone started to want a piece. So there's another premise here. People at heart are kids. People at heart are kids. Right? So if you can be playful a little bit and enjoyable a little bit, they will start to come on board. So everyone started to, you know, oh, I want a piece, I want a piece, I want a piece. I said, you know, everybody, I brought this coconut into the auditorium here just to show you that this is how we are. We're ugly on the outside and beautiful on the inside. But we have to break the shell of the ego. And so that was the introduction to the talk. And I had absolute attention. So you see, use what's around. Okay, let's go on. What's going on here? It's not working. Okay, there are three ways to teach. And since I've been here this afternoon, I've been using the three ways, three of them. One is a conductive way, in which you direct people when they need it. It's like giving input, giving them instructions, or giving concepts, you know, explaining. The other is deductive, in which you present evidence and allow people to come to their own conclusions on that evidence. You know, this has happened and this has happened and this has happened, and so therefore, what do you think? So they you're giving them evidence and they're deducting. They're making their own deductions from that. And the third way is more subtle. It's called inductive. But basically you're using dharana and reasoning to get people to say in their words what you were going to say anyway. If people can say, if you can get people to say what you were going to tell them, it's much more powerful than you saying it yourself. But that requires, like, you know, pulling it out of them, basically. Pulling it out of them. And any good presentation, in fact, is a balance of these three things. Now, there's an expression I translated from Portuguese. If you give people food that's already been chewed, the only thing they will remember is the shape of the spoon. Right? Let them chew it themselves. Yet let them work their own teeth. Right? Not give them some liquefied format. Right? So they won't remember anything. Our job as a facilitator is to make people's minds work in a different way. Probably different from anything they've done before. you know. Stand up, everyone. I'm seeing that you're sleeping. Face somebody. Face somebody. Find a partner. Not wanting to stand up. You're lazy. Find a partner. Face to face. Face to face. Okay, I want to show you something very simple. Close your eyes. Just feel present. Feel that you're here. Feel that you're in this moment, not somewhere else. Not lamenting the fact that you didn't rest this afternoon. Okay. Open your eyes and look at the floor. Which actually means looking at the other person's feet. Look at the other person's feet. And keep a serious face. Okay. Now, watch what happens. Looking down, I want you to gradually raise your gaze. Okay, raising your gaze now to the knees, now to the belly, now up, up, up. Now you're looking at them in the eyes. What happened as you came out of your own little world and came into the other person's world? Tell them. What happened? Come on. Okay, don't sit. Don't sit. Whenever, stand up, please. Whenever you can get people to do something rather than for you to tell them, the conclusions are much greater. For example, you can be talking about, oh, what a mechanized world we work in, you know. And how people, you know, the other day I saw a person in the airport. I was in Madrid a few months ago, and the person was there on one of those conveyor belts, you know, moving conveyor belts. With their luggage cart going towards the gate of their flight, and she had her notebook opened on top of the little cart, and her cell phone in the rear, and she's typing away with her other hand while the conveyor belt takes her quietly to the gate for her plane. And you know, I was imagining, wow. You know, people live in such a mechanized technical world. Okay? So I want you to do a movement that's repetitive. Everyone, do it in such a way that you don't hit the person next to you. Spread out a bit. Spread out. We're going to make one big machine here in the room. Okay. Do any movement that's repetitive. Just repetitive movement. Very serious face. Very serious. No smiles. More serious. Most serious face. Okay. With your peripheral vision, just have a look around you. Don't move your head. Okay. Faster. Okay. I want you to start laughing. And try to keep the movement. More, laugh more. You can't do it, can you? You look ridiculous. Okay, sit down. So, instead of you saying mechanized living is ridiculous, you get people to experience it. It's much more powerful. Also, use, if you can, use pictures. Can you turn the lights off? Lights. Oh, no, you get it later. It'll be on the SML site for the SML people. Okay, this is a pharmacy in India. Now, if that guy leaves his body, you're going to have trouble finding the aspirins. But I use this to explain how our minds work, because our minds are like those shelves, right? Just half-open boxes, because here you can buy, you don't buy it by the box, you can buy three pills if you want. You can buy half a dozen pills. So they rip open a box and they cut off six and they sell it to you and they stick the box back in, you know. And that's how it is. Okay, it's a way of organizing, but our minds work like that. And I'm going to contrast this with something else. This is how nature works. It's a dandelion. Pom-pom. Right? And the conclusion, instead of saying, for example, you know, when we're not very natural, we have to sort of organize things in such a strange way. But as we come closer and closer to our own nature, we start to work like this. We start to move like this. Things start to organize themselves in a very nice way. So instead of saying words, instead of saying having a list of words written down, use pictures. If you want to, if you can. Empathy. Someone says something, okay. Until now in our little talk this afternoon, what would you say from your own perception? What have you perceived from the things that we've been saying this afternoon? Who would like to say, who would like to share something?
I have to be honest and say I think that I knew very little about facilitation, honestly, and I've learned a great deal this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, David. Very good. Anyone else? Nick.
Nick, and as you can tell, I'm from India. I've felt participation, involvement, enjoyment, activity, interest, and more.
Great. Anyway, when people make, you know, we're not in a situation where we're actually talking about some deep topic, but people have their opinions, people have their perceptions. Those perceptions may be different from yours, and they are valid, absolutely valid. For those people, they are true, you know. So it's not our job, as Baba says, if someone believes something, it's not our job to destroy people's beliefs. But we can show them and then they can compare. But not necessarily on the day that you're giving your presentation. They'll probably go away afterwards and compare. But our job is to validate people's perceptions. And even if people are not clear, and not everyone's going to express themselves clearly, but they shouldn't be penalized if they're not clear in what they're sharing. So you can actually help them. So what you're saying is blah, 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 blah. Is that what you're trying to say? Oh, okay. Yes. So help them even to understand what they're trying to say. And again, give pause for reflection. So let's do a just a minute, just 30 seconds, not a minute. Pause for reflection. In between one thing and the other, when someone says something deep, stop, think, reflect, silence. Okay. Help people feel secure. It's like create an atmosphere in which people trust each other. Just to give you an example, I had a very, very intellectual group, I would say, of people for a retreat. And they were all from the same NGO. It was an NGO, a group of people from an NGO that works to help sustainable business. So mostly there are people who are from quite an intellectual background. So I thought, for the first whole morning, I'm not going to give them any input. I'm just going to take them through a series of experiences, dialogues, in which they gradually learn from their experience that there's something deeper. So I got them to sit in groups of five. One of the persons was to stay silent and observe what the others were doing. And the first topic, I said, okay, the topic for your dialogue is, how can Brazil get out of its hole? Because it's a very deep hole of corruption and violence in Brazil at the moment. And of course, everyone has opinions, like that's news, you know. They start, I think this, and I think that, and I think this. And I asked the person who was observing in silence to just look at the intellectual content of what they were saying and then feed back to them. Then I divided, I said, okay, now we move into groups of four. One of you is going to be an observer, a silent observer. And I don't know what the topic was it, what do you think you have to do yourself to contribute to a better Brazil? So they start to feel, you know, a bit more emotional. And the observer had to just observe the emotional content. And so after they spoke, the person gave the feedback on the emotional content of what they talked. Then I divided them into groups of three. One of them was the observer, the silent observer, and two talking. And it was a spiritual topic. How do we improve your relationship with God? In Brazil, it's okay to do that sort of thing. And the observer had to observe the spiritual content of the talk, of the dialogue. And then I sent them off in pairs to talk about their experience with each other, to have a dialogue in pairs. And they came back, and I say, okay, you've talked in a group of five, then in four, then in three, then in two. What's left? Talk to yourself. So I sent them off with a topic about how to resolve inner conflict or something or the other. Each one had to talk to themselves out loud. To conduct a talk with themselves in a loud voice. Because they had to move around the grounds of a beautiful natural setting. And of course, I say, when you're 50 metres from the next person, then you can start talking. So they were all walking around the property talking to themselves. And they came back. Until then, I hadn't said anything. And this took 2 hours, the whole thing. But it was a gradual introduction to self-reflection, right? And then they never talked to themselves in a loud voice, right, before. And they discovered so many things. So when you know that something exists in people, even though that they don't believe or they don't know, you can help them bring it out. And that created such a climate of emotional security, right? Then after that, sharing amongst them was such a pleasure, you know, for the whole weekend. That's how we started off the weekend, actually. 2 hours of that. No input from my side, nothing. Just instructions. Okay. Empathy also includes decoding messages. You know, if someone says something, there may be something behind the words or underneath the words. you know, that indicate some feeling that you need to address, you need to take into account. Or you can see by the body language, you know, everyone just bored. So you need to do something. Again, if you go, sometimes you go to a place with your presentation all ready and you realize that your audience is not the right, you know, that's why you should get there beforehand. These people are not appropriate for the presentation that you had prepared. So unless you're able to do what you have to do on a flip chart, you probably shouldn't use a PowerPoint presentation anyway. You should be able to do what you want to do on a flip chart. It should be so. You should know this much about what you're going to do, and even if you're going to use this much. So therefore, you can be flexible according to the audience. You know, I had a talk in. They organized a talk for me on motivation in Soweto, in South Africa. Very violent place. To the police. And 1 hour before I had to give my talk, it was all organized, all, you know, dutifully prepared nicely on PowerPoint. 1 hour before I got there, one of the colleagues of the people sitting in the, who would be there, had been assassinated, had been murdered. So, they're all sitting there, one of their colleagues had just been murdered, you know. I'm not going to talk about motivation, am I? What am I going to talk about? Huh? Healing feelings. Healing feelings. You know? Talk about something that's appropriate, you know? I had to change. Because if I start to talk about motivation is this and motivation is that and let's do it and come on, and they're all sitting there, you know, it's not appropriate. It's actually shameful to do it. So you have to be in tune with what's going on. And again, these are the things. What do you emphasize? What don't you emphasize? What's appropriate? Volume of voice. Rhythm of voice. Tone of voice. Melody of voice. You know? Don't be monotonous. Raise your voice. Emphasize. You know? Create suspense when you need to. Modulate accordingly. And people, you know, it stops people from falling asleep. If you start to, and so then we did this and then we did that and that happened and then we did, and then. That's what happens. How does the content relate to their lives? How does the content relate to their lives? Make it relate. And how many of you here have been facilitators more than 5 years? Have been facilitating groups of people more than 5 years? Please, hands up. Okay. That means the rest of you are less than 5 years, is it? Less than 5 years. Well, you're either more than 5 years or less than 5 years, right? What about the people that didn't raise their hands? New. Okay, not yet. Haven't done it yet. Okay. Great. Eye contact. Look at people in the eyes. We're experts in that, right? Why do you think someone sits up the front every time we meditate and watches everybody? But make enough gestures. Not too much, not too little. You know, if you sit there with your hands stiff, you know, or you do the same gesture for everything, people will think it's a nervous tic. Not too much. Not too little either. Sequence. three aspects you could never and should never forget. Oh. The purpose, so it doesn't come out very well, but the purpose of what you're doing, how what you're doing will help them practically, and sum up what you're doing. Yeah? Never lose sight of that. Make it relate to their lives. Make them understand that there are some benefit in what you're doing. In other words, the flow would be, you're going to start by saying what you're going to do. You're going to do that, exactly that. And then at the end you say what you did. Right? Today we are going to do this and this and this. And then do it. The best way possible, get their experiences, bring it out, draw it out, get depth. And then at the end of it, well, ladies and gentlemen, today we did. What did we do? Even get them to say it. Right? Basically, that's it. Icebreakers. I mean, we did a few today. Yeah? But again, many times you use what's available. Right? I remember I had to give a talk to a group of workers in a huge company. There are about 1,500 people in the audience. About 1,500. And they all had their you know, the identification. Yeah, the corporate identity, right? They had their face on it and their name and their job, what they did there. And immediately, okay, we can use this. Everyone's got one. Okay. So I told them, okay, find someone that you don't know, introduce yourself. It's written there. Okay, turn that around. Turn your badge around, and there's nothing there. So, talk about what you really are. Talk about your virtues and your strengths and your insights and your feelings. And they got it. And so they start to share what's behind the name and the role. Yeah? So it's like instant. And you can do that in a big audience, right? Even the chairs were not fixed because it was like in a huge open space. But they could find someone you don't know. Immediately they start to share with each other, wow, what's behind the name and the role, okay? And then you got it. Then you can go deeper. They sit down and you've got their attention. Ice broken immediately. So use what's around, use things. But there are lots of icebreakers and games that you can do to get people moving along. But basically, initial icebreakers have to do with getting people to introduce themselves in different ways. So we're going to start summing up now. I mentioned this before, but it's often useful while you're sitting there preparing what you're going to say, you're thinking about if one of them went out of this presentation this afternoon and were interviewed by a reporter and that person asked them about the workshop, what do you think you would like them to say about the workshop? What would you like people to say about what you're doing? Have that in your mind before you start. It really helps. These are just hints now. This is very interesting that 7%, this is some very deep research that's gone into some guy in the United States, what's his name? Albert Mehrabian. It's often quoted, this type of information. But you know that 7% of meaning is actually in the content. 38% of the meaning is in the way we speak. And 55% is in bodily or in especially facial expression. It's a body language. So when you ask, you know, how was the talk? Often people can't remember what was said. They just remember, oh, it was great, you know. Something was there. I feel great. So it's 7%, though, is extremely important. It's like the perfume. Perfume is a very small percentage of a flower, but it's almost everything. So body language is not enough. Have a look at this little cartoon here. You know that game where you sort of represent something and people have to guess what you're trying to represent? Look here. The little girl is representing a flower. But the kids are thinking she's an aeroplane or a horse or a cat, a bird, a cow or an octopus, a tree. So body language is not enough. Content, therefore, has to be concise. It has to be concise and incisive. You know, it has to reach people. And in our context, we have to know how to deal with it. I think the order's not right here, but it's okay. I had to translate all of this today. It's okay. Okay. The one I wanted is not there. Okay. How to deal with questions. This is often useful. If you're in a place where there are other people doing the same sort of workshop that you do, then you should have meetings to talk about questions that have come up and how you dealt with them. But anyway, someone who makes a question, sometimes it's to contest what you're saying, but mostly it's to clarify. Many times just people want to be acknowledged rather than being right. But show that you are also learning. Don't set yourself up as a know-all, you know, someone that knows everything. Invite questions in such a way and to invite people to answer them. Even if someone asks a question, before answering, ask if anyone else knows the answer to it. Right? So you get them to interact with each other rather than you standing up the front and giving all of the answers. Right? It's more important to be genuine than to be clever. Should underline that one. It's more important to be genuine than to be clever. And after they've made their question, the answers have come up, ask them if they're happy with the answer. And again, what does Baba say? If someone asks you something you don't know the answer to, what does Baba say? Yes, I'll go and ask my senior sister, she'll tell me. No, don't try to invent. If you don't know the answer, be honest. I'm sorry, I don't know, but I'll look into it and I'll let you know afterwards. Say like that. Don't try to make up something, you know. Learn from other facilitators. What works for others? What are their specialities, you know? Again, using questions. There are different types of questions. The closed question. These are like hooks to keep people's interest up. Is a closed question where it doesn't permit much space. Is your boss bad or good? Oh, bad. You know. Open question, what do you think of your boss? Oh, right? Rhetorical question, these are spelt wrongly. Questions that don't need to be answered. How do you feel at the end of the day? You know? You don't need to answer it, but you can ask a specific question. How were your thoughts in that situation? Some spelling mistakes there. How were your thoughts in that situation? And questions to get grounded. When you say that everything in your work is difficult, what's the evidence? You know? So get people down to earth. So there are five ways you can make questions. A closed, an open, a rhetorical, a specific, and something to help people get grounded. I got a lot of material here. Using experiences, we talked about that. Illustrate important concepts with practical experience. Invite others to share theirs. Very important, avoid speaking generalities. People are like this, you know. In the West, we do like this. In Russia, our habit is to do such and such. Don't be generalistic. You talk about your experiences, get people to share their experiences as much as you can. Within the room, you know. Within the room. If there's something happening, you know, like there was a huge flood in the last week, then, you know, you can talk about that as a part of the mutual understanding of things. So, there's elections tomorrow, so, you know, you can talk about the political situation. To use things that are happening as well, right? So, summing up, this is everything we've said today, summed up in these abilities. Start with spiritual power. Start in silence. Your inner state's just as important as what you say. Be Bubba's instrument, right? Find a thread and repeat it regularly. I took this when I did this thing of, for example, the talk on conquering anger. Every time I mention what people, there's what we call neurosis and psychosis, but there's also what we can call normosis, where people make, you know, what is normal behavior is very mediocre. And so how did I illustrate that? Then that list of questions that I made, 24 questions that indicate if you got anger or not, and they were saying, well, that's normal. That's normal. That's normal. Right? So half of the questions people said, but that's normal. And I said, well, that's what we call normosis, you know. Normal behavior that's not very elevated, that people just buy into and say, think that it's absolutely natural to be like that. So every time during the talk that something or the other, someone started to say, but it's normal behavior, everyone in the whole audience was saying, normal, normal, normal. So you've got a thread there. You know, normal behavior is not actually, what people call normal is actually mediocre these days. So there was a thread there that went through the whole weekend, you know. The third one, emphasize things using analogies, metaphors, and examples. Well, not too many. We talked about that this afternoon. We talked about speaking from the heart and what Bubba says there. Words spoken from the heart strike hearts. So talk from the heart and you'll get people involved. We also talked about maximizing involvement. Get people to say what you want them to say. Use color and movement. People remember much more what they see than what they just hear. So we talked about that. We did a few exercises, right? We talked about how experience guarantees learning. Transmit your own experience and also help to create experience together with the group. And finally, we should finalize on a strong point. Yeah? People tend to remember the last things. So conduct meditation at the end related to the theme, especially if you can give a commentary somehow related to the theme, and invoke Baba's presence to bless the gathering, right? So Baba's there blessing everyone, and you're mentalizing that, you know, Baba's blessing, Baba's hand of blessing on everyone's head. And so everyone leaves happy. So, find someone you don't know, and for the next few minutes, 5 minutes, you can share with them what you learnt most. So, find someone you don't know very well, if you have to get up, move somewhere, preferably in your own language. Share with them what you've learnt most and that's most useful for you in today's talk. Okay, let's move back to our seats. Let's move back to our seats. I realize that in this, because of the numbers, I didn't imagine there would be so many, but there's obviously such experienced souls here sitting in the room. Would have been great to listen to all sorts of sharings and so on, but this is like, it'll be like a, you know, at least a whole morning that we could dedicate to listening best practices, you know, from different people. So we were limited by time. And, okay, we're going to have some meditation.